Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
WGN. 741, the listeners seem to be riled up about the picture I tweeted out. I'm getting some interesting replies. Bob needs to go live on an island so he doesn't have to deal with people. That wasn't my point. Somebody else said, I think she is having a party. Look at all those bottles of water. And she has flowers. Oh, well, let's talk about LinkedIn. When it comes to businesses using social media, LinkedIn was always the original go-to platform. But sometimes it gets lost in the shuffle with so many options out there. Let's talk about that with social media strategist Scott Kleinberg. Hi, Scott. What's so special about LinkedIn?
Hi, Bob. Well, to me, you know, it's a little less about being special and more about being impactful. I see a lot of people put LinkedIn on autopilot. They just assume that it operates in the background while they do other things, and that's not really how it works. So when there's an opportunity to remind people of that, I like to do that.
Good idea. I know you have a few tips, and these are tips directly from LinkedIn.
Yeah. And as we go, what I was thinking was I'll tie LinkedIn's recommendations into some basic social media practices, because I want to be clear, LinkedIn's tips are very good. It's just that they're not groundbreaking. And these are things that I think we should already be doing.
Okay, so the first one is all about the foundation for your LinkedIn presence.
Yes, exactly. It's making sure your page is a page that people want to follow. The information about the company and the logo and the keywords and the business description, you want to make sure all of those are up to date, that they're correct and they're easy to understand. And they're all important, but that last part about keywords, that's really important. LinkedIn pages are often crawled by search engines. So when someone searches for words directly related to your company, you want to be found, and ensuring that you have those keywords updated will do that.
Yeah, good tip for business. Okay, so the next two are related. One is about posting thought leadership content. The other is about knowing your audience, right?
Right. For the part about posting thought leadership content, LinkedIn's 100% correct. The platform, they say, is a thriving community of entrepreneurs, marketers, C-suite executives, and other decision makers who are always looking for content. Content that's original, insightful, it helps them grow. But here's my take on that. All of that is true. But the non-groundbreaking part is what LinkedIn says on that page, which is know your audience. And I have been saying that for such a long time. Just because it's not groundbreaking, though, it doesn't mean it's not vitally important. You always want to post what your audience is looking for. And here's the key. That's going to be different on LinkedIn than it's going to be on Twitter, than it's going to be on Facebook, and so on and so forth.
So it's almost like businesses should have sort of a blueprint. What you just said about the correct content being different depending on platform, if you know that going in, you're already ahead of the game.
Yeah, exactly. Very well stated. And I'll put it another way. Say you have one piece of content and you want that content posted to five different social media platforms. Say that'll take you 35 minutes to do. I'm just making up 35 minutes there. If the audience of only one platform finds that content valuable, because you weren't meant to copy and paste it between platforms, you just wasted 30 minutes. So I say instead of spending that time, you know, repurposing the content for different platforms, It's better if you just put the content where it belongs, put the rest of the content in the places where it belongs, and then all of a sudden that 35 minutes or an hour or whatever you spent, that's just a much better use of your overall time.
And as a follow-up to that, there are a lot of social media choices out there. What do you say to people who say they just don't have time?
It's such a good question. And what I say is I get it, and I know there's a lot to do. But I've been doing this for 14 years, and as each year goes by, I know it's more important than ever that you have this presence and that you manage that presence well. And I think the above example is a really good starting point. You know, the hour versus 35 minute thing. I also really love your blueprint idea. I think that knowing your audience and knowing what they like to see is 90% of the work. And, you know, if you find when you're doing your research into your audience that your Facebook audience is 10 times the size of your Instagram audience, then that's where you make the decision to concentrate on where it is and where you can reap the most benefit. So I think a simpler way of putting it is, instead of going into it and saying, you know, I don't have time, the better way to do it is, what can I do in the amount of time that I have to make the most impact?
Continuing with social media strategist Scott Kleinberg. And Scott, building on what we talked about earlier with LinkedIn, you have a few thoughts on what your mindset should be when posting. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I do. What I want to make sure, Bob, that always comes through is that there's no one secret to social media success. There are key principles to apply, but one person's viral video isn't the next person's viral video. So I think you should think about these three things as you craft your content. The first one is, find your niche. Give people a reason to come back and they will. It's really that simple. The second one is, post from the heart. Social media is an extension of you. Sometimes it feels really impersonal, but it doesn't always have to feel that way. And the third one is, don't overthink it. A lot of times, Bob, when I give tips and advice, I worry that people treat it like some kind of complex mathematical equation. I'm terrible at math, so please don't do that. There are some foundational elements to always be aware of, like we just talked about. Knowing your audience, posting for the right people in the right places, that kind of stuff. But that doesn't mean that you can't just try something and see how it goes. I've long taught people that failure is a part of success, and you have to learn from your mistakes. In social media, you can always try something and then take valuable lessons from what you just tried. If it works, you know, wonderful. And if it doesn't work, you modify it for the next time.
So is what I just did on Twitter a mistake? I took this picture of a shopping cart that was completely loaded up, and I thought this was just funny and cute. So I tweeted out the picture and said, how come this is always the cart in front of me at the checkout line? And people seem to be aggravated and mad that I did that. What did I do?
You did not. This is a perfect timing for this. You did not make a mistake. But what you might not have done is anticipate the response, which is one of those famous things that I always think about. And that's exactly what's happening. There are going to be people out there who are going to be like, oh, I just wanted to buy one item. And there's the person in front of you who has 26 things.
Yeah, exactly.
There's always going to be the person who's going to say, well, if you're not going to be patient, then just buy online. You know, there's always going to be those two schools of thought, which I think you're finding out here. Mm-hmm. So you did not make a mistake. You tried something. You're going to determine now whether or not it worked or not. And next time before you post your tweet, I'm guessing you're going to think to yourself, am I going to post it or not? You're going to anticipate the response and act accordingly. So in my opinion, you did the right thing to find out where you want to go next.
Well, can you say that it worked because people were motivated to respond? They got riled up?
In that way, yes, you could absolutely say that. Because, well, if your goal was just to say to people, oh, I'm in front of this person in front of me is going to take forever, then that's one thing. If your goal was to start a conversation and get people to talk, then you absolutely succeeded as far as that goes. So, yeah, I think it's definitely more success than, I don't think there's any failure in here. I think it's much more success that you send something out there, and now when the next time it happens, you know, I think you would probably do something, you know, very similar, and maybe you would craft your tweet wording it a different way, just to say, I know what people said last time when I'm saying, you know, that kind of thing. So I think it's totally okay that you did that.
No, my goal was just, I thought everybody's been in this situation where there's somebody with a zillion items in front of you. And I was just thought, well, this people can relate to this and this could be funny. And then I'm looking at some of the response. Listen to this text. Can't believe this jackass is on the air. So disappointed in WGN.
let me just say one thing from a totally outsider perspective in this case. I saw your tweet. And I did not think that you were being impatient. I did not think that you were being angry. I thought you were just basically saying, oh, this is how it always goes. This is always
different.
I did not take it in a negative way. So if that helps you to know that, you know, it's not really that, then I think it's okay.
Thank you for that, Scott. All right.
You're welcome.
And my genius bar question for you. I'm on Zoom the other day, involved in a meeting, and on my laptop, and then people kept texting me. Somebody was texting me, and that it kept dinging, and it was very disruptive to the Zoom meeting. What can I do about that?
So you were on your computer doing the Zoom, or on your phone doing the Zoom?
No, I was on my laptop doing the Zoom,
and then you were getting all the stuff on your phone.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So what I would do in that case is I would turn on the Do Not Disturb feature that's on your phone, which is that little moon symbol. If you go to the control center, it's just it's easy. I can help you find that. It's just called Do Not Disturb.
Yeah, I've seen that.
That would temporarily turn off telephone calls unless you have some emergency contact. It would temporarily turn off your text messages and your other notifications, and then you could do what you're doing on the computer without there being any trouble. I think that would be a perfect way to handle it.
So no dinging.
I don't think there would be any dinging in that case.
And then I'd still see all my texts after I'm done with the Zoom meeting.
Obviously. Exactly. You would just turn off the disturb symbol and you would be back to normal.
Scott Kleinberg, always informative and entertaining. And thank you for your support, Scott. Talk to you next week.
Take care, Bob.